Can you hear me now? Well, that's good. Remind me to switch it off when I'm finished. You may have noticed Norman is not with us this morning. So you're kind of stuck with me. Introducing the service. Leading the service. But whatever. Norman's in Kelty and doing his duties with regards to the interim moderator that he is up there. Don't know what he's doing today, but he's not here. So you'll probably notice on your intimations that I'm standing in for Caroline. But Caroline's up the stairs doing the sound. That's the first change today on the intimation sheet. So I'm going to read the intimations, if I may. Thank you. So, a very warm welcome to the service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or visitor and may wish to sign a visitor's book. New elders, we are delighted that we will be ordaining one new elder and admitting one new elder to our Kirk session next Sunday, the 30th of April. The formal edict concerning this and the process involved will be read in the church for the second time today. Kirk session. Kirk session will meet for ordinary business, the ordinary business meeting on Wednesday, 26th of April at 7 o'clock. Please note the earlier start time we have adopted. I'll have to change my diary. Right, okay. Cycling Club. The Cycling Club C4 will have an outing next Saturday, 29th of April, to Alloa. More information from Derek on 882190. Catch. The next Catch Day Kids at Church is Sunday, the 7th of May. Other intimations. There are further intimations on the printed sheet that can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you don't have a copy. Now, I'm going to read the edict of the ordination for new elders. Bear with me. Now, we're going to go back in time to using ye old language. So, bear with me. Edict for the ordination and admission of elders. Whereas Alastair Douglas Campbell and Irene Scott, members of this congregation, have lately been elected to be ruling elders in the same, and the Kirk session, having judged them to be duly qualified for the office, has sustained their election. And the aforesaid Alastair Douglas Campbell and Irene Scott have intimated their acceptance of the office of the eldership. Notice is hereby given to all concerned that if they or any of them have objections to state why the said Irene Scott should be ordained, or Alastair Douglas Campbell not admitted to the office of ruling elder, they should repair to the Kirk session appointed to meet in Cairnhill Manse on Sunday the 30th day of April at 11:20 a.m. to state the same, with certification that if no relevant objection affecting life or doctrine be made and substantiated, the Kirk session will proceed to the ordination and admission without delay. By order of the Kirk session, signed by Rob and Rosemary Henry, joint session clerks. Now that completes the intimations and the edicts reading. So let's gather together and continue to worship God by singing our first hymn. Our first hymn today is hymn 212, Morning is Broken.
Thank you.
let us dedicate our offering. Let us pray. Lord God, we pray that these gifts of money will be used wisely and well for the work of your kingdom in this place and in the world. We dedicate all the gifts of money given through the banks too, and we dedicate all that we give of ourselves in our service. Bless all these things in the name of our Lord Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. That was my first mistake. I left the order of service on my seat. I knew it was Rosemary who's going to come up and give us the first prayer, but I was concerned if I said it and it was wrong, it would be my first mistake of the day, or a second mistake of the day. So I would like to invite Rosemary to offer us, lead us in prayer. Thank you, Rosemary.
Good morning. Our prayers this morning are based upon the Church of Scotland's weekly worship resources, and the original prayers were prepared by Reverend Peter Wood for Earth Day. Let us pray. Love incarnate, creator of the bluebells and larks, sustainer of the stars and galaxies, redeemer of everything that has life and breath, we confess that we are far from perfect, and we lack the subtle word of encouragement, the vision to be the solution to heart. We speak too much and rarely listen as we ought. We move when we should be still, and we so often come before you without focus. Loving God, we lay our lives into the palm of your hand, you who holds us, carries us, and pushes us when we need it. Father God, forgive us through the hands which reached out for his mother from the manger. Forgive us through the hands once stretched out on the cross. Forgive us through the hands held out for Thomas to touch. Merciful Father, receive the confessions of our hearts now in this moment of silence. In Christ, we are offered hands leading us into a future surrounded by his love. Receive his promise of forgiveness and be released from the burdens which bind you, so that you may open the doors of your hearts and with confidence walk into the future, surrounded by resurrection hope. In Jesus' name, Amen.
Thank you, Rosemary. And now we continue our worship of God by singing the hymn 181, For the Beauty of the Earth.
Thank you.
announce yet another change in the order of service. It's not Caroline that's going to be doing the reading. I'm going to invite Elaine to come up and do the reading. Thank you. Thanks, Elaine.
The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 2, and we read from verse 36 to 41. For the promise is for all. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Our second reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, and we read from verses 13 to 35, the road to Emmaus. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further, but they urged him strongly, Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thanks very much, Elaine. I'm now going to ask Alistair to come up and give us his talk. Thank you, Alistair.
Thank Can I make another change to the order of service, if possible, please? Instead of walking and talking, is it okay if I'm just standing and talking? Okay. This news item comes under, or maybe file it under the title, Strange But True. A German woman took a road trip across Europe with her dead mother in the back seat of her car. The 93-year-old died a day after they set off from Frankfurt, but her daughter carried on for 4 days through Italy, Austria and Switzerland because it was what Mum would have wanted. After Jesus died, his followers didn't prop him up and cart him around different places for 4 days because it was what he would have wanted. He was buried. Then, doing the unimaginable, God raised his son from the dead. On the concrete certainty of the resurrection rests the whole of subsequent Christian history. Bruce Foss Westcott, 19th century Bishop of Durham and scholar of the Greek New Testament, said, "Taking the evidence together, it is not too much to say that there is no single historic incident better or more variously supported than the resurrection of Christ." Basically, no resurrection, no Christianity. That's the reality of the resurrection. It's what we're about. Many people find that coming into a church building, even if they're just on their own, they find themselves at peace and in the presence of God. And similarly, many people outside feel themselves in the presence of God. Some say they're closer to God in the garden, or they're out walking in the countryside and close to nature. They feel very much his presence around them. And maybe a bit more about that later on. But certainly the two on the road to Emmaus certainly encountered God outside. In the midst of all the excitement and confusion of the discovery of the empty tomb, Luke leads us away to a quiet road leading from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And unlike Jesus, his followers had become like a dead body, a body with the heart wrenched out. They were terribly afraid and without hope. They did not expect a sequel to the story of the crucifixion. And the two on the road to Emmaus were typical of the others. They did not know what to make of the day's events, Jesus' death, his burial. Yet within hours, everything has changed. The tomb is empty. And here on the Emmaus road, the risen Christ joins Cleopas and his companion. But they were kept from recognizing him, perhaps by some special divine intervention. So the two pour out their hearts to this apparent stranger. They tell him about this prophet, a man of God. They seem reluctant now after his death to refer to him as Messiah. They had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel, to set the nation, the Jewish nation, free from bondage to Rome and usher in the kingdom of God. The response by this stranger, who apparently didn't know these things, must have given them a jolt. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Christ's death was no accident. He had to suffer and die to buy freedom and forgiveness for his people. Perhaps our first step as we consider the reality of the resurrection is to take a step back in time, past his miraculous raising from the dead, to hundreds of years before his miraculous conception. The resurrection was not just of any man, but of the Son of God. The book of Isaiah and his prophecies contain the most references to the suffering servant fulfilled by Jesus. Can you recognize him? Isaiah said he would be widely rejected, voluntarily accept the pain, suffering, and death that sinners deserved. make atonement for sin through his blood by taking upon himself the grief and sorrow of human sin. Die on behalf of the sins of us all in order to intercede for us. Be buried in a rich man's tomb and bring salvation to those who believe in him. Be exalted and extolled on high. It was this suffering servant who now accepted the invitation to go in and stay with his fellow travellers on the road. Suddenly everything falls into place. They realise who he is and all that that implies. They understand who he is, making sense of all that he has told them, and they begin to witness to the reality of the resurrection. Fear is gone, and in its place, indescribable joy. The journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus is characterised by defeat. The return to Jerusalem to tell the others is characterised by witness and victory. Okay, so we've established that Jesus wasn't just any man, but what about these resurrection appearances? There were just a few folk who saw him, or was it? Let's see. It was early Sunday morning at the empty tomb outside Jerusalem to Mary Magdalene. Sunday midday to these two travellers on the road to Emmaus. During that same day to Peter in Jerusalem. To the 10 disciples that evening in the upper room. And a week later to the 11 also in the upper room. Some time later to 7 disciples fishing on the Sea of Galilee. To the 11 on the mountain in Galilee. To James. Then one appearance to more than 500. And lastly, 40 days after the resurrection at the Ascension on the Mount of Olives. No matter the variation in the four Gospels, the facts remain clear. We are left with the reality of the resurrection. So what does the resurrection mean for you and for me? Quite simply, the cross and the empty tomb, Jesus' death and resurrection mean salvation. Salvation involves the double work of redeeming us from guilt and judgment and of producing moral purity and service to others. In other words, our justification and sanctification. Here's your buzzwords for the week. The Christian believer is saved from guilt and judgment and is therefore justified or put right with God. And then begins the process of sanctification, a transformation towards moral purity. And out of thankfulness comes the desire to serve others. Jesus redeems believers, freeing us by paying the penalty. The ransom price is not just, or is not silver or gold, it's Christ's blood. In other words, his death, Christ himself. The result is the forgiveness of sins. Geoffrey E. Studdart Kennedy, English army chaplain during World War I, he said, "If Christ be not risen, the dreadful consequence is not that death ends life, but that we are still in our sins." The essence of Christianity is a personal commitment to Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, and a consequent personal knowledge of God. Before a person reaches this state of commitment, he or she must have come to realise how salvation relates to them personally. Have you become aware that God loves you? That Jesus Christ died for your sins? That the Holy Spirit will dwell in your heart and empower your life? That there is a place kept in heaven for you? The awareness of a personal need to receive the gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ includes or eludes many people, especially nominal Christians. That's what the resurrection means. So, brothers and sisters, what shall we do? Well, fast forward to Acts and Pentecost. And the apostles had been baptized by the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit, and had spoken in other languages to various groups. And now they stand with Peter, who serves as their spokesman. "Repent and be baptized," he replied. Repentance is, of course, about inner reorientation, a turnaround in one's life away from sin and towards God. Not a particularly popular subject, sin and repentance. And there are those who would call for repentance and turning away from sin. But these are key gospel principles. And having accepted the need to repent, the way is open for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the outward and public sign of this inward change is baptism. Repentance and renewal go hand in hand as part and parcel of the promise of God to his people. And Peter makes it clear that this promise is for all. There's no small print restricting it only to a few or a privileged elite. Perhaps you remember the old BT advert, "It's for you." And so Christianity then is based on the reality of the resurrection. Jesus was not simply a special man or a prophet. We don't worship a dead hero, but a living saviour. The resurrection is a well-attested fact. One researcher stated that there was a 97% probability of the resurrection. No, our faith is built on 100% certainty. The reality of the resurrection means salvation for all who believe in and accept Jesus as their Saviour. For Christ is risen. Michael Green, the Anglican clergyman and evangelist, once said, "Jesus is alive and doing things." So, brothers and sisters, what are we to do? Well, Peter's reply is as relevant to our world today as when he first said it. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen.
Thank you, Alistair. We continue our worship with the singing of hymn 155. "Think of a World Without Any Flowers."
God is always with us, and especially at this time of year, there's evidence of his presence and his many gifts to us. We can see it in new life, in the blossom on the trees, the spring flowers, and the warmth of the sun. We'd like to invite you now to spend some time in the garden this morning and to consider finding God in the out of doors. We have an acrostic sheet that you can pick up and use, but this is not essential, but if you need something to focus, it might help. But we just ask you to go out for a few minutes into the garden and be still in the presence of the Lord.
I should say that there's one or two seats been set up in the garden for those who wish to use them for your time of contemplation. That answers the question that Margaret Butler asked me this morning. She said, "Why is there seats in the garden, George?" I said, "You'll find that later on." So please, let's just leave and go and seek God in the garden. Sorry? I can't hear what you're saying, do I? On that note, I shall now look at the order of service quickly and confirm, yes, can I invite Rosemary again to lead us in prayers for the world and others and the garden.
There is something very, very special about Cairnhill Man's garden. I think it kind of wraps itself around us a bit. So, to prayers of intercession. There are two small silences in our prayer for others this morning. Let us pray. God of resurrection, God of hope, we pray for this world, its fragility, its beauty, and its pain. As we remember Earth Day, so we pray for a better relationship with the earth. Lord, you said that if people do not praise you, then even the stones would cry out in recognition of Jesus, the source and centre of life for the world. Holy Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the connections between creation and Jesus. May we walk lightly on the earth, cherish our fellow creatures, and learn with creation the ways of our Creator. As in a moment of silence now, we bring to you all organisations and agencies from international level to community-based projects who work with one purpose and aim, to care for the earth and its environment. Lord, we lift our heads and our hearts to you. Lord, we pray for situations in the world where there is injustice, where people are oppressed and are not free to live as you intend. We think particularly of the people of Sudan and of Yemen. We continue to pray for Ukraine and all countries where the forces of money, power, greed and violence dictate. Lord, come and set your people free. Where people's lives are choked with wealth, and where people struggle to live in a world of perfect images, Lord, come and set your people free. We pray for the direction of our national church. May it walk humbly and hopefully in faith. Grant wisdom and discernment in these challenging and often confusing times. We pray for our own wee church here in Cairnhill and for the future of all our churches within the West Fife Villages cluster in trying to find our best way forward. We pray for all churches facing radical change today. And we pray too for renewal and growth with your grace. May we know who and whose we are, that our identity is found in the love of God. We pray for situations in our community where people are feeling stuck in a narrative, where things haven't worked out as they had hoped, where there's gloominess and despondency. May you grant us all the humility to go on changing and the courage to be open to transformation so that we can see Jesus clearly every day in our lives. Where there are faithful people carrying burdens, Lord, send your Spirit and set them free. Where there are people with gifts unused, Lord, send your Spirit and set them free. Where there are people with issues and concerns, shared and unshared, Lord, send your Spirit and set them free, as we pray quietly now for all who we are holding in our hearts and minds today. Lord, we lift our heads and our hearts to you. Generous God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus real for us. Help us in this week ahead to see with your eyes, to feel with your heart, and to walk forward in faith as we come together now in the saying of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you very much, Rosemary. Yes, when we were planning this service, that's at the worship planning meeting that we had, was it a week ago, I think? Something like that. Somebody mentioned Earth Day, and I went, I better not say anything. I don't know what Earth Day is. Haven't a Scooby. But what I'll do is I'll listen to what they're saying, then I'll maybe find out about it. Nobody actually said anything, they just said Earth Day was happening, it's this Saturday, yesterday, and I went, still none the wiser, so I thought, right, I'm going to go on the internet and ask Mr. Google, that's the answer for everything. So I switched on my machine and I went in by mistake into my Google Mail, well, it's Gmail actually, if you must know. And lo and behold, there was an email in from DFS, the furniture people. And what are they saying? Oh, I bought a stool about 6 months ago from them. They keep dumping this information. Guess what Mr. DFS Furniture People was going on about? They're celebrating Earth Day. And I read what they were on about, along with an advert for all their furniture. It's nice furniture, actually. I'm not saying that for any other reason, sorry. I've got no connection with DFS. But that made me read it. And they are actually a sustainable company, like all companies now. They're trying to save the planet. And this, to me, is what Earth Day was about. So I went on the Earth Day site, and I found, in actual fact, can I just roll that back a wee bit? If you want to hear more about Earth Day, go on to Facebook and Norman's statement. I was told by Derek this morning that he's written a wee piece about Earth Day and the organisation. It was formed in 1970, believe it or not, with the sole purpose of sustaining our planet. They realised way back in 1970, we have got to do something to stop the climate change and really save our planet. So rather than me going on about that, what I thought I would do, the theme for this year, for this month, is to invest in our planet. and we invest in our planet the best way we can. Well, my investment in the planet just now is going onto their site and reading the content of it, because it's very, very interesting. And you can join up. Now, I'm going to stop saying that. How would we invest in the planet? The same day we do invest in our church, by our time, talent and money. And you can interpret that by our time recycling. Talent, well, maybe doing things better to sustain our planet, and money. Yes, you can donate to that organisation if you wish. But anyway, so can I just read their statement from the website, and that'll give you an idea about Earth Day. There's Earth Day, which was yesterday, and this is Earth Day month, the whole month of April. So, it's got on the website, every April the 22nd, stakeholders of all backgrounds come together to advance sustainability and climate action in commemoration of Earth Day. Our world needs transformation. It's time for the people of the world to hold the governments and the private sector accountable for their role in our environmental crisis, whilst also calling for bold, creative and innovative solutions. This will require action at all levels, from businesses and investment to city and national government. That's where you come in as an individual. You yield real power for change through your influence as a consumer, a voter and a community member. Don't underestimate your power. When your voice and actions are united with the millions of others around the world, we create an inclusive and impactful movement that is impossible to ignore. Throughout April, we commemorate Earth Month with marches, rallies, volunteer events, and more. United together, we'll drive a year of energy, enthusiasm, and commitment to sustainable and equitable future of our planet. There we go. So anybody who doesn't know anything about Earth Day, I now know a wee bit more than I did at the meeting. Right, now we shall close our service by the singing of hymn 804, You Shall Go Out With Joy. Screen. So I'd like us all to say it together, if we may, please. Thank you. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon us, and upon all our work and worship done in His name. May He give us light to guide us, courage to support us, and love to unite us, now and forevermore. Amen.